morality, renunciation, wisdom, effort, patience, sincerity, determination, loving kindness, and equanimity. Simple. Yeah. And then four sublime states: metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and ubekha, equanimity. And then the other one is seven factors of enlightenment. First, Dhamma Vidya, investigation of the Dhamma. Start with the mindfulness first. Sati Dhamma Vidya. Mindfulness and investigation of the Dhamma. Effort. Joy. Clarity. Meditation or concentration, and equanimity, jetra, seven. Okay, that should be enough, no? Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about the metta, loving kindness, and upekkha. But this one, boundless heart and balanced mind. Almost the same, no? Metta is very important. We take as something so important that everyone had to cultivate, you know. Without loving kindness, life is not possible. We must have this one. So the Buddha advised us to practice loving kindness to all living beings. Just before coming to this one, we start with the generosity first. Before you can send metta, loving kindness to anyone, anybody, you must have your, what do you call, virtue. You must have your own virtue or credit. You must have that loving kindness in yourself before you can send loving kindness to all living beings. So we are taught to be kind and generous. The opposite to this virtue is what you call greed. Greed causes a lot of trouble. Whoever is greedy is causing trouble to everyone. He is not welcome, he is not loved by anybody because he is very selfish. But once he is kind and generous, he is welcome and respected by all living beings. So they taught us to practice kindness and generosity first, before we can come to what we call the true virtue of metta. Our Buddha practiced a lot in the long, long past. That's the great virtue, Dana Parivi. He was a prince and then practiced giving everything away for the happiness of others. Giving elephant, giving the horse, giving all sorts of treasures that belong to him for the happiness of his own people. So much so that he was not welcome in the city because he has been accused by those who are not happy with him. He had to stay in the jungle, in the forest. So he sacrificed himself and practiced meditation in the forest for 7 months. Over there, he kept the precepts and sent loving kindness to all living beings. And at the end, he was invited back to rule the kingdom. So any person who has plenty of kindness and generosity would be a great leader. If you don't have that one, you can't be a great leader. Because if you are good to others, they are good to you. There are so many monks who are enlightened, but without many disciples, without many people following him. Just because of he doesn't have enough generosity. Generosity is not done, is not practiced by him in the long, long past. He has done to some extent, but not that much. But any person who practices kindness and generosity, that person will be a great leader. You know? So people come to the temple. They give things to the monk. Many of them, or some of them, don't have even the 5 precepts. They come and give, they show their kindness and generosity because they have been kind and generous in the family. They are Buddhists, they come to the temple, they practice kindness and generosity, they show their kindness and generosity to the monk without keeping even that 5 precepts. But once they come to the level of the good 5 precepts, together with generosity, this time the loving kindness is so great. Because they are not in the position to cause trouble to anyone, anybody. First, the action, the bodily action has to be away from harming, hurting other, causing trouble to anyone, anybody, physically. And the second one, the speech have to be away from causing trouble to anyone, anybody. So away from killing, away from stealing, away from committing sexual misconduct, away from drinking. They stay away from lying, hard speech, empty talk, and what the other one? Hard speech. Sincere, they have to be sincerity and honesty, away from lying, hard speech, gossiping. Gossiping and empty talk. So once you have that control of your own speech and your own action, you are in a position to give plenty of loving kindness to all other living beings, because you are a harmless and a very, very kind person. So this kind of heart is wonderful in it. It's a must. So why, as I told you before, that when I came to the monastery and learned the chanting, the very first chanting, of course, to praise the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, and the very important for us is the Karaniya Metta Sutta. Karaniya Metta Kusalena. If anything have to be done by the wise, that thing is loving kindness to spread out to all living beings, to look after ourselves and to look after other living beings. So that person is very, very good person, very pure, very kind, very generous, you can say. So without missing, we chant that every day. When we come up after praising the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, we have to chant the Karaniya Metta Sutta, spreading our loving kindness to all living beings. So this time, this level is a very important level, because you are not in a position to cause trouble to anyone. Then, once you come to the good meditation, then very peaceful and very calm. Your heart and your mind is very in very good condition indeed. You can spread your loving kindness to all directions, wishing happiness and peace and prosperity to all other living beings without exception. So you can see from here what the Buddha has done. First, that's Theravada, the what do you call that, teaching. We have 10 perfections. Generosity and morality always come together. It's a must. Without this, that the practice is not possible. So you can see this one, and this renunciation, that means away from the worldly pleasures. A person come to the temple, not only with the 5 precepts, but this one with the 8 precepts. And also, those who attend the meditation retreat, we call renunciation, moving away from the sensual pleasures. You know. So the mind and getting better, full of loving kindness to all living beings. From here, the full sublime state, metta, come first. So the Buddha, when he was Bodhisattva, he had this one. Our Buddha always have the kindness and generosity to other living beings. When he saw the old man and the sick man, and the dead man, and he saw the monk, he liked to find the way out of the suffering, how to free himself, how to free others from all kinds of suffering. So during that time, before he attained enlightenment, we can say that he has this one. Not this one yet. To some extent, yes. But only when he became the Buddha, his great metta transformed to this great compassion, because he was enlightened, and in a position to help all other living beings. If you spread your loving kindness to all living beings without exception, without actually helping the poor, the uneducated, the depressed or the hopeless, you practice loving kindness. But if you intention, you are in a position, you have plenty of this loving kindness, and you are in a position to help the poor, the uneducated, the depressed or the hopeless, you have karuna, the compassion to help all others. So The negative that goes against this is what we call the anger. So always have to understand. No? Say if here is the metta, the opposite is the dosa. Here is karuna, the opposite is dosa. So once you practice karuna, that anger becomes less and less. Doesn't cause trouble to you at all. You can see once you have less and less anger, you have great, what you call, joy, sympathy joy, with those who are successful and happy in life. Always the case. But if with anger and habit, you don't have this one. This one is the one that make the mind balance. Very important. After all this, because if you don't have this one, you must have attachment. Anger would arise if something doesn't work according to what you wish, you know. But if you have equanimity, everything's okay. It's all in balance. No trouble at all. So when it comes to the practice of the teaching of the Lord Buddha, you have to complete it. But of course, this can be simplified as that balanced heart and balanced mind. So this one and this one. Because once you have metta, loving kindness, you must have karuna and have mudita. And to make it the metta pure and perfect, karuna good and mudita good, you must have upekkha, what you call the balanced mind. But this one, you all what we call the positive, the wholesome virtues. So you have to stay away from the negative first. Stay away from greed through practicing generosity. Stay away from anger through practicing generosity and morality. And all this would help you to perfect what we call your loving kindness and your equanimity. So here you can see wisdom. This one, when you see this one, all this, not the phone but truth yet, have to understand that. Because this is the parami. So wisdom, the knowledge of good, what you call, of good and bad, what is right and what is wrong, the good karma is involved, you know. Have a strong belief in the law, the law of karma, cause and effect. If we do good, we receive good. If we do bad, and we receive bad. This one, you must have time to renounce, to stay away from the family life and practice meditation. So, 8 precepts is required from here. From this one. This one, believe in the law of the karma, but not up to the level of the 4 noble truths yet, because still perfecting the ten perfections. So effort that this one have to be made again and again, because after all, in Mahayana, we have generosity, morality, and then effort, patience, meditation, and wisdom. But in Theravada, more in detail, but almost the same. Effort and patience all come together. If we like to make it strong, make it better, make it deeper, make it perfect, there's no other, what do you call, no other virtue better than patience and effort. This one, what you call, is a must for us to perfect our generosity, morality, and even to develop our wisdom. Sincerity, that is a must. Have very sincere and have to be sincere and honest person, because only what we call there in if you go to India, I think that I have not shown you Satyameva Jayate. That's what we call that. The very important word for the what you call the symbol of Indian philosophy or belief. Only what you call satyamev jayate, only the truth win. So sincerity, if you're not sincere, you can't practice. And when it comes to the ultimate truth, everything is deceptive. Everything is a lie, except Nibbana. Okay? Nibbana is truth. Everything is a lie to you. And you must have a strong determination, atitana. So when it comes to the practice, no, you can see that determination is atitana, loving kindness, and equanimity. So in Theravada 10 perfection, loving kindness and equanimity are very close together. No? This make this one balance. And all this you can see that once you practice generosity with attachment, you don't have equanimity. If you have morality with attachment, you feel that you are better than others. You don't have equanimity. Okay. And if you even your renunciation, you feel you have some sort of ego, no? You don't have equanimity. And if too much knowledge thinking without resting the mind, you don't have equanimity. See, and effort is too much, you will run in trouble, go crazy. and patience too, you know. All this has this as its balance, okay? Equanimity. Do your best, like in the practice generosity first, and then having a good morality, you can send, because physically, you don't harm and hurt others through keeping the good five precepts, okay? And you don't cause trouble to anyone verbally, that you are in a good position to spread out your loving kindness. Once it comes to the loving kindness, this is the work of the mind, okay? This is the work of the mind, not the physical body, not the physical action, not the physical speech. This is the work of the mind, how to balance the mind. So it's so important, something that unseen and unknown by others, but yourself knowing very well. And in order to understand this properly, please understand that this called life, we have this body and mind. What we call the knowing mind, the citta, and the cetasika is something that coming out from that mind, what you call the thought, or the feeling, the mental activities, or consciousness, or perception. So it comes from that mind. And then two things that staying with that knowing mind, the good and the bad. Okay? The good one over here, when we talk about it, is what you call that dosa, and this one also, the negative one, opposite to this is anger and hatred. So very important that we have to get rid of the bad one first before we can have the good one. Or in practice, you do your best to practice. Of course, as you have metta, the anger gets less and less. As you have karuna, anger gets less and less. So that all the negative ones are not allowed to support or to cause trouble to that knowing mind. So do your best to get rid of the greed, anger, or hatred and delusion, and then practice metta, loving kindness, and compassion, and mudita, sympathy, joy, and equanimity. As for the normal person, the ordinary person, see, you can see this one, okay? happy feeling, unhappy feeling, and neutral feeling. This a normal person, like everyday life. For a normal person who are not practicing the teaching, this happens all the time. This create what we call the lust and greed. This one cause anger, and this one cause what we call delusion. The three kind of feeling. So this feeling are not good at all. So we have to get rid of them through practicing generosity, keeping the morality, and practice these four sublime states.
Oh,
could you come out again and tell me the four state of mind during the full state of mind once we have a good meditation? Okay. First is piti. Piti, joy, and sukha, happiness, ekakata. One pointedness of mind. Ekakata, ekakata. I think. No, call. Okay. Ekakata, much better than this. Those who practice meditation very often, somehow you might have this kind of feeling, okay? Yeah. After the mind become calm and peaceful, then certain people would have joy, very feeling very happy. Even the hair of the body stand, feels happy, And when this the joy subsides, the happiness arrives. So this is what they call it, a rough form of happiness, joy. But this one, a very subtle form of happiness. And then ekakata, the mind come into the one-pointedness, one single mind. And the best feeling that equanimity. You can see that so loving kindness and equanimity is not far away from each other. No? Always come first. If there is no loving kindness at all, it becomes like three kind of feeling. You have happiness, happy feeling, unhappy feeling, and neutral feeling. Happy feeling, you attach to it, because that and then unhappy feeling, that means the first one you have greed or attachment, the second one you have anger, and the third one you have delusion. But when it comes to the good practice, once the bad and negative one has been taken away, through having good meditation, this come joy, happiness, one-pointedness mind, and and equanimity. So always come together. But the top of every virtue is equanimity. Remember, no? It's very important. So balance all the time. You're happy. Once you are happy, the whole world is happy with you. Okay. Your son, your loving connect to all living beings because that happiness, and then you are not allowed to attach to. Stay calm. If you attach to your own happiness, you are in trouble. Because attachment means the ego feeling involved. In Buddhism, we are taught to give away. Okay? Let go. In this country, very good word is let it go. Let go, letting go of the gift for the happiness of others. Letting go that bad action, the bad speech, that and the level of morality. Letting go of liking and disliking in the mind, that meditation. Letting go of the attachment, that the level of the wisdom. So, naturally, when you have good meditation, you get all these good things arise in you as a reward of meditation. But it's just a rough form of happiness that comes from inside. It would stop itself. Ain't anything. Only Nibbana is permanent. The rest impermanent. But this subside doesn't come down to the level of happiness. Very happy. But that is not the best of feeling. God, why is not the best? What happened at the end of happiness? What going to happen? You can guess. Suffering comes in a very little form of sadness, of somehow something you're missing. Okay? But ekakata, stand one. There's no room for other. Ekakata, no? No room for other. In some Thai they say, ekakiyo, one by himself, only, adutiyo, having no other as his or her friend. So if your mind can stand in that position, it's very good. By himself, by herself only, having no defilement as the friend, no? Or has no other thought as the second frame. Ubekha, equanimity. So, after this one, you stay in there, and then you develop the wisdom. So, this one, the great one, you know, Vidha. When it comes to the practice, you see, remember the four noble truths, okay? The suffering, the cause of suffering, the end of the suffering, and the path leading to the end of the suffering. Okay? From the start, at least we must have some sort of knowledge or have wisdom, have good knowledge of the four truths. The knowledge of the four truths exists after, what you call that, happen after the enlightenment of the Lord Buddha. Long before that, there's no such thing. Only if there is anything, what you call, they believe in the law of the karma, the cause and effect. If they do good, receive good, they do bad, they receive bad. That kind of what you call belief. And the 10 perfection, they exist. But that wisdom not the level of the four noble truths yet. So when it comes to the noble eightfold path, the wisdom comes first from the start. And then have a good thought. This one, got everything comes from the mind. So if you have a good thought, wholesome mind, then the action is good, what you call the samma vaja, the right speech. First, samadhiti, right understanding, right thought, and right speech, right action, and right livelihood. This one as a morality. So once you have the morality established, that means your mind is calm and peaceful without causing trouble to anyone, anybody. So your duty is to make an effort to get rid of what they call the new negative one that might come to you through your six senses. Very important when you practice. Make sure that you practice meditation, you have the sense control. There's no negative feeling. So, and then after that, the effort is to get it off. The something bad, something negative only found in your mind. Liking and disliking, greed and hatred that there in your mind, or even as any kind of attachment that there in your mind. So you try your best to get rid of that. But first, the requirement is stop the new bad thing, liking and disliking that might come through your eye. In order to do that, you stop seeing the movie, watching the TV, and all that, you know, to stop that, to control your sixth sense. And then you can see that what happened to you, your liking and disliking come to disturb you. If liking, normally we like this body, we like the sixth sense. So if you like to come to the high level of the practice, you have to see this as loathsomeness, or as ugliness. So when you see this one, there is no attachment to the body. Okay? And then if you have any anger, you practice metta, loving kindness to all living beings, because you have good sila already, so it's easy for you to spread your loving kindness to all living beings. And then you have to, anything good, you have to use that effort and patience to make it happen again and again, again and again, in order to establish this mindfulness. When it comes to the practice, whether you can kill any negative thing or negative feeling, can kill any defilement at all, only when you have this, you can kill it. If you don't have this, say you're upset, you become anger, no chance. No chance. When you see things, you attach to it. Immediately you become, you want it. There's no chance. But if you can see that feeling slowly arising in you, and then you can see that negative thing can be taken away, can be killed by your own wisdom, because it comes up to you and you see it. But if you become anger and you become greed or become the last, no chance. So this one, after samma vayama, what you call right effort, samma sati come first. No? So after this, this investigation of the dhamma. So here you can see that, see the body as it is, as they are, as the four elements, and see the knowing mind as something is there, exists forever, and something that coming along, one is to destroy or to cause trouble to that knowing mind, the other is to support, to help the knowing mind come to a level of enlightenment. So investigating the dhamma is so important. So all of us, actually, so easy in a way. You have the body, you have the action, you have the speech, and you have the mind. So just do the right thing, say the right thing, and think of the right thing, you are okay. So it's, and then that knowing mind, if you get rid of greed, hatred, and ignorance, that knowing mind gets better and better. So this is the reward for you, for your good meditation. Joy, instead of watching TV, oh, meditation better. Happiness, they come. Ekonim ekakata, one pointedness of mind. So, oh, it's so excellent. Nothing come to disturb, and equanimity stay in balance. That means that, oh, the top of the feeling, and that's on the way to achieve enlightenment, you know. So when you come to this one, the effort is always have to make before you can come to what they call to the end of the suffering. And then every time you make effort, this become clear to you. So happy. You know? And then that happiness almost like this joy, the clarity of the mind come up. So clear. So once the mind is clear, you know, the sun cannot go through the wall. Our eye can't see through the wall. But the wisdom, can see everything. Even when it comes to that inside, any person behind the wall or anywhere, any place can be seen. This is the good thing on our mind. No? Just like this, we are human beings. We don't have that thought of good things. But we always, before we go to sleep or have deep sleep, always have dream. And before we get up, always have dream. How come the eye is closed, but we can see it in the dream? The ears, why we can hear it? Why we can see things? Why sometimes come up as a vision for you? Something can tell you. So that means that sort of thing is more important than anything. So if you look after the power of generosity, that enough to look after you. The power of morality, enough to look after you. But once it comes to meditation and wisdom, so good, you know. I used to tell you before, that suppose you're going to attain enlightenment, the first one, and a huge fire is burning the whole planet. You're just about to attain Sotapanna, the first level. That big fire will stop, you know. Wait until you finish first and then can come up. And quite a number of novice in a long path during the time of the Buddha, who are the disciples of Venerable Sariputta, they are about to attain enlightenment in the morning, but because of the practice, it takes time. So the deity, the deva, and the power of the meditation, they can hold the sun to stay put, don't move, because like to wait until the novice attain enlightenment first, having meal, and then, the sun can move. That power, you know. So, important for all of you to have a good meditation. Clarity is one very, can see things without having any trouble at all. And then go deep into that good concentration again, because all these seven things to help you to achieve enlightenment. So even with all this one, the best on the line is equanimity. So why you see the Buddha image very calm, very peaceful? Why you see some of the good, what you call the good enlightened monk in the past, so calm and so beautiful, because the equanimity. So every good virtue in Buddhism has equanimity at the top. So your balanced mind is very, very important. Very important. But in practice, I'd like to tell you again that Yung Bu Thet has said, whoever makes his mind or her mind balance away from liking and disliking, that person can be free from suffering. So that liking and disliking something that disturbing the mind all the time. So the the equanimity is the top. So any question like to ask? But first things, don't forget, no? Loving kindness is a must. Mm. To help ourselves, to help our family, to help our society, to help our country, to save the whole world. Loving kindness is very important. That means that if you are a harmless person, you spread your loving kindness out. It's very helpful. In fact, that all of us survive because of the good people. No? The bad, don't do anything to save us. If this world belongs to the greedy one, and if they can take with them into the future life, there won't be anything left for us. Okay. But if this world belongs to the very kind and generous one, we have plenty to share. So the bad one never help. So send your loving kindness to all living beings. And then it comes like this. See, as the Buddha, what he has done. When he saw the old man, the sick man, the dead man, and he saw the monk, that make him leave the palace. One of the monks said that he said that, but nobody said except him. He said, Ajahn Mun, the great master of Thailand, said that the Buddha achieved the first level of enlightenment through seeing this. Sotapanna already, when he saw all these things, if he doesn't have this as the foundation, once he left the palace, he would be in the water. A great difficulty. Won't have any strong determination. Don't have any, what they call, that great effort. Because there's not much to make him, what they call, move, or not much to inspire his practice. So I tell you, quite a few in China, the same. Whoever listen like the sixth patriarch, when he listened to, that means in the past he achieved something already. Once he listened to the other monk chanted that Heart Sutra, so he got enlightened somehow. And Venerable Su Yun, he wrote about the ugliness of the body when he was only 19. That means he achieved enlightenment, first level in the past already. So then we have our patriarch, the prince, the son of the King Mongkut, who have the same feeling when they brought the lady or the girl to him. He see as a corpse. So that means in the past, he has done something, he has achieved something. So that inspire him to practice, to further his practice. So our Buddha, because of that, he has a strong effort and determination to achieve. So only after the enlightenment, then his metta become his karuna, because he in that position to help all other living beings. So when we come to the compassion, we talk about some people who are higher and helping the poor one, the uneducated, the hopeless, the depressed, and so on. So you are in a position to help others. You show your compassion. So the Buddha, after enlightenment, he has great compassion. Mahakarunika Natho. He has a great compassion, great compassion, great purity, and great wisdom. So through his compassion, Buddhism has come to us. Through great purity, we follow his best example. We live a moral life away from causing trouble to others. Through his great wisdom, we got knowledge of the Four Noble Truths. So that the Four Noble Truths come only after the enlightenment of the Lord Buddha. Before that, Bubbe Anusute Su Thamme Su, what they say in that this kind of Dhamma, this kind of thing never heard before. Never heard it before. That means now, for those who like to attain enlightenment, the Four Truths has been taught, the Noble Eightfold Path has been taught, we have to make an effort. But some people like to be the Buddha in the future, that okay, you know, if they want to, or like to be enlightened during the time of the future Buddha, that's okay. But to wait for such a long time and suffering in the samsara, oh, I like to warn you, you know, old age, sickness, and death. When it comes to this one, and I'd like to explain to you again that must have a good understanding of what the Buddha taught. He taught us to see the suffering. Once you hear that, those who don't have any good knowledge, or those who don't practice Buddhism, would say that, oh, Buddhism is very negative. But when we practice good meditation, very peaceful mind, very calm mind, seeing the suffering, the one who see is one thing, the thing that are seen is another. The body is separate from the mind. So when you see the suffering as it is, as they are, with a very peaceful mind and wise mind, there's no suffering there. And if you have a good understanding, oh, because the thing that's going to change is there all the time, and the one that's going to stay, like a knowing mind, would stay forever. So once you understand this, you let go the attachment of the body, of the what you call the of old age, sickness, and death. But if we don't understand this, jati pidukha, you become the suffering. Birth is suffering, old age is suffering, you become the old age, you become the birth, and you become the death, you are in suffering. But if you see as it is, you are not. That knowing mind doesn't have that suffering. So stay away. So through having the good understanding, all that, you know, it's a very good quality for the mind. Very wonderful. If you can't understand what you call remember the seven factor one, you just this one. No? Good enough to make your mind balance. But keep practicing loving kindness, send it out. Before it come to the end of the suffering, I try to remind you again, those who have full of the loving kindness, the 11, what they call the benefit. First, what they call they sleep well, and then they get up well, and then have a good dream, and then munusanang piyohoti, they are beloved by all human beings. Manusanang piyohoti, even the ghost and spirit would like them. And devata rakanti, the deity look after them. Oh, so good, eh? You have human being, you have ghost and spirit, you have deity to look after you. And every night have a good dream, no? Every night have go wonderful. And then, what the other one, No poison, nothing can come to harm and hurt you. Even they try to harm and hurt you, they would miss. They can't because of your strong morality and loving kindness. Okay? And then the face, very bright and shining, because they what you call the good virtue, they come from the heart, something good showing to through the faces. So very bright and shining. And then you can have a very good meditation. Very good meditation. Easy to concentrate. And not the last. Then you would not lose your mindfulness when you are dying. At the death bed, you wouldn't lose your mindfulness. Your mindfulness is there. That means to guarantee you to be born in heaven. So we can say that you can be reborn in heaven. But the last one on the list is that if you don't achieve anything, not just ordinary heaven, you are high up in the highest heaven, you know. So that's the 11th benefit of having loving kindness. But and then again, I forgot to, I like to tell you there are 8 worldly conditions. That also something to do with upekkha. Yeah. Gain and loss, lapo alapo. Yaso ayaso, honor and insignificance, ninda pasangsa, what you call the praise and blame, and sukhang jadukhang, that happiness and suffering. So at the end of gain, loss come. At the end of loss, gain come again. Like this. So there's one is the pleasant one, the other is unpleasant one. In order to save yourself from this trouble, you have to stay calm. You must have equanimity. In time of up, you're equanimous or calm, and in time of down, you're still calm. So it's very important. Aso kang vari chang ke mang. Once you are there, that means if your mind not affected by the worldly condition, by gain and loss, by honor and insignificance, by praise and blame, by suffering and happiness, you are not affected, but that means you have less defilement. And there's no more sadness, no more disappointment. So it's the very highest virtue. It's not the gain that matter. It's not the loss that's so important, but the calmness of the mind when facing this is so important. After all, it's just the knowing mind, you know, to see all this. So the knowing mind stand there and then see this come and go, come and go. You just stay calm. So let go of the attachment to the loss. Let go the attachment to the gain and any honor, any happiness, praise, let it go. You stay calm. But if you are affected, that means that if you go with gain and you would go with loss, like the pendulum or the clock. So have to be calm and equanimous. Then you can see that upekkha just at the top of all virtues. So the balance of the mind is so important. So in time of happiness, don't forget. Think deeply of that upekkha. And also, when it comes to the great enlightenment, because it's too many things to remember, but one is the last one before the last insight that you achieve enlightenment, it's sankhara ubekhayan. That means the insight, having equanimity toward all sankhara. That means that this body is changing all the time. Impermanent, whoever attached to it would be in suffering, and it's not us. So this body going to have old age and sickness. So once you have that inside, you stay calm when something happening to this body. Stay calm all the time. Because if that is not you, you're not supposed to suffer because it's not you. So if not you, you are not supposed to attach it. It's not you. So that knowing mind, stay calm all the time. And the last on the list is that your sajanumo yan, and when you are the insight into these four truths, the suffering, the cause of the suffering, the end of suffering, and the path leading to the end of suffering. So when you go round and round and done all the duty toward the four kinds of truth, and then you achieve enlightenment. So upekkha is the top. No? We have the metta as the first level of the practice, coming from generosity first, no, all my reward, and then morality to support. Okay, your action must be good, your speech must be good, and then your mind letting go of liking and disliking. Get rid of what they call the five hindrances, and then stay in balance. So see as this is as they are. So once that knowing mind understand itself, and if you don't cling to that knowing mind, you are attain nirvana. That stay forever. So without doing all the things, you will run into trouble. If there is no loving kindness here, what's going to happen? Anger and hatred, fighting and quarreling, and at the end, war. So when there is no loving kindness, but if there is loving kindness, there is no war. And also what they say, if you have this loving kindness coming out from you all the time, there is a peaceful, a very calm and very peaceful light coming from your heart. But if you have anger, there is a dark, the dark coming out from your heart. So if you go anywhere, any place, you feel good, that means in that society, among those people, there are some who are practicing loving kindness. But if you go there and you don't have that kind of feeling, very unhappy feeling, that means the people don't practice that loving kindness. So important. And then even that you can use this as the way to attain enlightenment. No? Metanja sabalokatuming mana sampavaya aprimanang. First, mata yatha niyang putang. What they say in English, even at the risk of her own life, the mother protect her own child or son or daughter. You should spread your loving kindness to all living beings. So there is no discrimination. Love all other as you love yourself. So titanjarang nisin nova, whether you are standing, jarang means walking, nisin no sitting, sayano or lying, you should have this kind of loving kindness all the time as a sublime virtue in you. So once your mind is concentrated and have good understanding of the teaching, you would let go what we call the sakaya, the attachment to this body. So important, no? The attachment to this body have to be taken away, have to get rid of it. Why? If there is attachment to this body, greed would be there, anger would be there, lust would be there. But if you see this as it is, as there are less anger, less greed, and less lust, less attachment. So, sakkaya ditthi, no? First thing that the among the 10 fetters, sakkaya ditthi come first. You have to get rid of your own ego. This body as you, the ego feeling, have to go. So this is the first one. And then, once you have good understanding of yourself, so through loving kindness, the ego come less and less. Through investigating the body, the ego come less and less. No? And then, second one, sakkaya ditthi vicikicchā, that means doubt. Here are the opposite, what the virtue that goes against the negative one, is faith and confidence, first in the law of the karma, second in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. When you have good faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, Sangha, oh, you won't fall from the, because you keep doing the good thing, there's no doubt. And then what happened? You see the potential of enlightenment in yourself. You see the knowing mind. You see your own virtue. You see the negative one, and you see the positive one. And then you get rid of the negative. So strong belief in Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha. This and then after having this one, what they say, once you believe in Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, you must, following up, understand the four truths. Because the Dhamma is the four truths. Something that makes the mind enlightened is the four truths. So they said that the Buddha, the Dhamma, is the own refuge and protection. But once together with understanding the four truths, that Dhamma become the sublime, the best protection, the best refuge. So very clear. There's no doubt about the path. And then Silapata Brahma, they said, now when it comes to the morality, quite different level of morality, you know. The ordinary morality, like you take the precepts, not a bad one, quite good, but not the best, of course. Say many people break the precept once a week. They come to the temple and request the five precepts. They stay for some time and then they break again. This kind of morality better than nothing. And some can stay in their mind for a long time, but just the rough one without having meditation as something to support. Say some of you, you know, when you come to the killing, oh, you know, no. Stealing, no, you never do. Anything that sexual misconduct, no. Lying, no. Drinking, no. But that, this one is good. But the best one, it's not the action, it's not the speech itself. It's something come from the mind. They're very peaceful, very calm, very stable mind, you know? The balanced mind or the clarity of the mind that never harm oneself, never harm anybody. That what they call the ati sila, the best the sila. So that means you must have good meditation in order to have this strong morality in yourself. So not only to harm, hurt anyone physically or verbally, but the mind never cause trouble to oneself and never cause trouble to others. So calm and so peaceful. This kind of the sila right there in that knowing mind. So this kind of sila would not be different from the state of meditation. It's almost the same. what they call that? The morality is just the same as a meditation. And meditation is just the same as the wisdom. That if you can come to that, oh, you are very high up. And then what you call vata, that means the practice or the training, always come together with the good morality, with the good faith in the Lord Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So, say, coming up wake up in morning, getting up in morning, practicing meditation, they will do. In evening, they will do. And any activity, anything good, have to be done by them regularly and always there all the time. What do you call it? Vata, this one, is the training. But those who don't have this, they just do what they like. Sometimes they practice, sometimes they don't practice. So the one who are close to the first level of enlightenment, they would have a very regular practice. The mind stay calm and stable all the time. So once you have this one, good training for yourself, wherever you go, you always bring your loving kindness to all living beings without anger, without hatred toward anyone. Or if anger arises, you can have a strong mindfulness to pick it up, and then you can destroy it immediately. So for a good lay person who don't have this mindfulness, they just be patient. They don't say anything verbally. They don't do anything physically. So they wait there, and then the anger goes away. But for the practice, don't have to wait that long. Don't have to wait. This is the mindfulness. It's very, because they know that it arises in themselves. So good, by doing this, through having loving kindness, they can achieve what they call the sotapanna. And down the end, as I explained to you before, when they practice more and more, now when anger and greed and attachment to the body get weaker, more and more concentration on the body. Because they have to get rid of the attachment to the body. What they call here is that kame su vinaya ketang, the Pali, no? In it, that kame su vinaya ketang. That means taking away the attachment or the love toward all kind of sensual pleasures. No more, enough. Because this just body. If there is any love toward this body, it's just stupidity, you know. That anagami, you know, not for any ordinary people. When it comes to that, the whole world falls flat. Actually, once you have that, this one, you get everything to compensate or to replace the happiness that arising from the world, arising from the sixth sense. This enough. Remember, piti, sukha, ekakata, upekha, or metta, kuruna, mudita, upekha. Enough. No need for others to enjoy, okay? Here, you love everyone. And have to understand, too, that when it comes to the loving kindness, I have to warn you of the disadvantages that might come along, okay? Here, they have four kinds of meditation. Buddhanusati, metta, asupang, maranasati. You use mindfulness of the breath in and out, or you use buddho. And then these have to go together with loving kindness, metta. So important, no? So here, the teaching on the Buddha ask you, not only practicing generosity, but you must practice loving kindness. Not only practicing mindfulness of the breath, you must practice loving kindness to make sure that your mind is calm and peaceful, to make sure that you have less and less anger. So once you have a lot of loving kindness, you are a very attractive person. So I have to be careful. This time, if you're stupid, you can fall in love easily. Intimacy, you know, always follow the friendship. Always metta, you know. So you have to. So in order to stop this kaya kata state, the mindfulness of the body and the loathsomeness of the body, or maranasati, what? Buddhanusati, metta, asupang, maranasati. This four will make sure that you are on the right path, okay? So, again, you can have this, that ubekha. So without ubekha, you fall, okay? With ubekha, with all together, that, well, because this kind of meditation helps you to calm down your mind, to see things as it is as they are. So loving kindness is beyond love, what they call the beyond ordinary love or physical love, beyond. It doesn't, but if you have to be very careful. But if just love, that the physical love, that, oh, you are in trouble, you know? Bijato chai te so go. What they call it? All kind of despair, sadness, suffering arise because of love. If you go beyond love, there's no fear, no sadness, no suffering, you know? Bijato vipomutasa nati so go kuto payang the Pali. So, but metta with ubekha as a factor to balance the mind, no trouble. So must have asupa kaya kata state. All our minds fall this road because of not have enough good what you call meditation on the body. No kaya kata state. So if you practice that, you have balance of the mind. So when we talk to the public, I think the eight worldly conditions is very good one. How to stay calm, you know, in time of gain and loss, in time of honor and insignificance, in time of praise and blame, in time of happiness and suffering. That's so important. So if you have that kind of balance, you don't have any trouble. So with the good loving kindness, it helps. So Buddhism survives all the time because of the good practice. Remember, no? Without good practice, we will run into trouble. Anytime. But with loving kindness spreading out, it can pacify the mind, can cause what you call bring happiness to many, many people. Don't say that we are all practicing. No, did I tell you before? I have some experience that it occurred to me when we went to Kuala Lumpur to attend that's a World Fellowship Conference. I keep send my loving kindness to the Islam people, you know. Every day, because the mosque is there, you know. And we are allowed to see the mosque, and I send. One night, I have a dream of a lady come to pay respect to me, as if she'd like to thank for our loving kindness. Then just one day, before I left, I had a bad dream. Somebody hurling stick and knife, causing trouble to other. It appeared to me, not Islam, but the Thai one, the Thai people. So I went to Bangkok, and supposed to be met by the monk. Yeah, he's there, but he has no car. We have to go by taxi. But that taxi driver, he lost his mind, his mindfulness, because of there was a truck driver driving badly in front of him. He's so angry, like to do something, but he can't because he's driving the car. But oh, did he have an accident? No. If there is accident, him and myself and other monk would be in trouble. And he stopped at the toll, you know. But the truck driver paid the toll before he arrived, and then he left. But this one come up with a big stick running, but he couldn't. And he come back, he said, sorry, sir, I could not control myself. I said, you are right, that is wrong. But in this particular case, you have to be patient. What happened? If we have accident, you will be in trouble, I will be in trouble. He said, sorry, I could not control my my feeling, no, my anger. So then I see that any person who has loving kindness, when you send loving kindness to anybody, there is kind of what they call receptive, no, a feeling of that receive something from you without saying even to you face to face. So please, no, know your best. send your loving kindness to all living beings, especially you are with the Muslim, no, Islam brother. Make sure that every day they get your loving kindness. All living beings, go directly to them. May those who are living around you, may they be well and happy all the time. So once you do that, yeah, you would see, maybe like in my case, I did see the lady come to bow down, the Islam one, you know. But when it came to the Taiwan, we're not practicing, different story, you see. So, any question?
Venerable, I was told by some religious sect that they meditate, they have experience, out-of-body experience, where their mind travel around the universe. Tell me from your experience of meditation for so many years, have you achieved this kind of meditation?
No.
You travel the universe, yeah, and you come back?
Actually, we just send our metta, loving kindness, not to all living beings, but that our feeling. Metta is something that we take as the advanced positive force, pacifying or covering every human being on earth. May they be well and happy. So like here, when you meditate, go to the people in this university first, and all to the Sydney, and then the whole world, the whole universe. If you can remember the level of of the heaven, you can say even that level up from the low one up to the top, from here to the animal kingdom, to the ghost and spirit, down to hell. May all living beings be well and happy. So like when people offer us food, and then the Thai people like to transfer the merit, pouring the water, we always chant the chanting, may the merit done by them today, by all past today, be transferred to our beloved one who passed away, and to all spirit who need this kind of the merit. May they be well and happy. So we do like this. The one that only the very good monk can do, there was one time, Ajahn Man, the great master, you know, was asked by Lung Phu Khao, his disciple, what he said like this, Venerable Sir, what I believe that Venerable Mokkalana, he went to hell and helping them over there, or talking to them, or pacify them, or make them happy. I think that he didn't go physically, but his mind is there. Oh, why not? So easy. once you have a good meditation, your physical body everywhere. So it's true. Like he used to be up in the mountain, and on the way down, there's his disciple Longpu Tu there. With always, if he come, he must see him. But sometime 3-4 days, Achan did not come down for arms collection. But people in the city of Chiang Mai, they saw him walking over there for arms collection. So this is the what we say that those who have a good meditation can do so. And for the enlightened person, many things I'll tell you. Like the Buddha himself, if you walk anywhere, the level would be always smooth, flat, always. And all the stick and stone, anything unwanted would fall apart, away from his path. He walked. Only one person on earth, no, no other. And then for the very the arhat one, the good one, they walk as if their feet not touching the ground, walk very fast and very light. And this the how they do it, and they can show themselves in a very what you call long or far distances. If they want to. So why? That's what we believe, that all the good monks in the past, you know, in India, the enlightened one, the one who have the magical power would go to many places, China, Korea, Japan, or Thailand, or anywhere that Buddhism going to flourish. What they want there is there. Sometimes they die there. The relic is there. So if there is anything to do with the enlightened one, that place will flourish. People will have a chance to practice the teaching. They're going to get a great benefit from what the Buddha had taught. So quite a few cases that Ajahn Mun said that this the cave of the enlightened one. He didn't say when, how long ago, but what he said that the place of the arahat. So any place, if you go like the mountain and you feel something good, that means either the deity or there is very, very, very good, or there is something to do with the Buddha, with the enlightened disciple of the Lord Buddha in the long past. So from India toward that all that, you know, Silk Road to China must be visited by the enlightened one. If not at the time of Buddha, of course later on, maybe during the time of the good king, that send like Ashoka or other king that send the mission all over the place. So once the monk stay there and have a good practice, that would last for a long, long time. Say Tun Huang and all other place must be the place of enlightenment. The enlightenment live there. And some of the mountain, like in China, many. So must be visit or stay by the enlightened one. So this they go because they have a magical power. They know that in the future, in the long future, Buddhism will flourish. Even the place, the temple in Guangzhou, that verbal come from India. He said that this is going to be the monastery. Long way back, and it's true what he said. So they never, they have a very good vision what's going to happen to Buddhism. So many, many, many places, the holy place that must be visited or stay or live by the good deity or the place of the good man. So once you go in, you feel good. I like to tell you that if all of us have a good precepts, okay, and then if the monastery have the very good monk, very good precepts, oh, great thing would happen. Buddhism flourish from mind, from heart to heart, you know. But if you don't have that one, very difficult, very difficult. So Buddhism would go down. And then what happened to Buddhism, you see, as the place of worship, that holiness remained the same all the time, always, you know, from the time they built up until today, that holiness never fade away, anywhere, any place. So if you have a good practice, you approach any Buddha image, any monastery, you're most welcome. There's something good in you. But if anything bad, you would know it. Because the one who have more loving kindness, you would see you understand the selfish one. The one who have ubekha, you know, balance mind, would see the one who don't have this quality. So you are in a higher level and you can see what's happening. But sadly enough, our world not behaving itself properly, you know. And the modern technology heal a lot of us. Many monks. What Chan said, you know, what he said, that if any monastery, you know, having TV, all this internet and everything, the merit you gain from that monastery equal to, is what he said, suppose that monastery burned down and only the dust and the dirt, the ash remain. And you go there and put some kind of vegetable and the vegetable grow beautifully. Your merit from that place equal to what you get from that vegetation or vegetable. You don't have that much. It's bad. Very, 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 very bad. So this is what one of the teachers, so why he's so, what do you call them, so tough. He doesn't like to see the monk behave themselves badly. And if there are any troublemaker that cause trouble to Buddhism, not those who are not practicing, no? But it's not the foreigner. First, the monk. Second, the novice. And the third, upasaka and upasika. Bhikkhu, samanera, upasika and upasika. These are the ones who bring Buddhism down. We don't blame anyone. The Buddha don't blame anyone. Blame only his own disciples. So in order to practice properly, please have faith in the law of the karma, faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. Practice generosity so that you build up your loving kindness. And if you have good morality, your loving kindness will be very strong. And then you practice meditation. Now it's time you send your loving kindness out. Once your mind is peaceful and calm, you touch everywhere, any corner of the world, with the feeling of loving kindness. No? You feel so happy with everyone, every living being. And then, because the world is not working as you like to see, there's 8 worldly conditions are there all the time. Old age, sickness, and death always happen to this body. Separation always happen to body. What you're supposed to do? If you don't have ubekha, you would cry and cry. But with Uvekha, you stay calm. So boundless heart and balance the mind, okay? Okay. No question?